Mike Florio. And Mike, I'll start off by asking you, it was called a blockbuster yesterday. I don't know if it's a blockbuster or not, but could you give us a little more insight as to why Bill Belichick decided to throw Jamie Collins out for, what was it, a third-round pick?
Yeah, and look, here's what it comes down to. You look at the Patriots roster defensively. They have a bunch of free agents who are going to be eligible to leave the team in March, and you can either let them walk away and have their departures count toward the 2018 Hall of Compensatory Draft Picks, or you can trade them now for value. And also, by trading a guy like Jamie Collins, you control what his next destination is going to be. Now, that hinges on the Browns actually re-signing him, yeah. But by trading him instead of letting him leave via free agency, you reduce the possibility that he's going to show up with the Bills, the Jets, or the Dolphins in 2017, which I think has to be part of the analysis. And it's also driven by how much the guy wants in relation to how much you're going to pay him. So once you decide he's not a guy you're going to give a big contract to, then the question becomes, how do we engineer the separation? Do we do it now? Are we going to be as good without him? Can we make it without him? Can we achieve our goals as a football team without him? Or do we do it later? And their decision was to take the compensation for him 2017 instead of deferring it to 2018. And they have their reasons. When you have four pelts on the wall like Bill Belichick does, you get the benefit of the doubt in situations like this. And he'll have to find somebody else who can come in and do what Jamie Collins has done for the team. And, you know, a lot of it is, how good was he really? Was he the beneficiary of other players creating opportunities for him to generate noticeable plays and become a name? See, there are so many football players who emerge as names, not because of their efforts as much as the efforts of others allow them to emerge. And, you know, with running backs, for example, if you have a great offensive line, there are a lot of guys you could put behind that line who are going to become stars, and you're going to want to buy their jerseys and have them on your fantasy team. But it's the offensive line that allows them to do what they do. And I think when you have a good defense, it's easy for a guy like Jamie Collins to stand out. And, you know, he goes, I remember this dynamic with the Steelers back in the early years of free agency. It seemed like every year they'd have a linebacker who would leave via free agency, and the Steelers would plug in someone else, and that next guy would become the guy that we know who he is, and he's generating big stats, and then he's the next guy to leave, and they continue to recover from that, and it's a continuous cycle, and that may be what the Patriots are in the middle of.
Well, Mike, it sounds to me like there were two factors here. One, in the sense that he felt that he was worth way more money than probably the Patriots were willing to pay him, but also the fact that he had been going off script a little bit as of late. But what do you make of former Patriot Ty Law coming out and saying that Belichick doing this over the years has probably cost him some Super Bowls?
Look, it's impossible to know the answer to that question because you have to go back and play those years with those players not gone to see if they would have won championships. Belichick's right. approach has always been to get rid of a guy 1 year too early instead of 1 year too late. And that approach sometimes causes you to get rid of guys that maybe you shouldn't have gotten rid of at all. Look at Vince Wilfork. He's still going strong in Houston well after the Patriots decided to move on from him. So, you know, they are not tied to any one player except Tom Brady. And they will make whatever changes they feel like they need to make in order to make the team better.
Now, Mike, I mean, the Browns need a lot of help, but do you see Jamie Collins re-signing with them? Does this benefit them in the long term at all?
Well, you have to ask what benefit they were really looking for here. Usually we see a team become a buyer at the trade deadline because they're a contender and they think that they are one player away from becoming a playoff team or becoming a more viable playoff team and being able to progress deeper into the playoff tree. For the Browns, could it be that they did this deal just to increase their chances of getting a win? Because I think it's going to be very hard. Seriously, I think it's going to be very hard for Jimmy Haslam, the owner of that team, to bring Hugh Jackson back as the head coach next year if they go 0-16. Even though Hugh Jackson could be the guy who turns this team around, and I think he will be, if you go 0-16, you're going to have a hell of a time selling this to your fan base. And the Cavaliers and the Indians are only going to provide so much cover for the Browns. And you look at the schedule, and let's do this one by one. I'll do it quickly. Dallas, loss. At Baltimore, loss. Pittsburgh, loss. Giants, loss. Cincinnati, probably a loss. At Buffalo, loss. San Diego, loss. At Pittsburgh, loss. And right now, you've blown what was your last best chance to get a win against a Jets team that was not very good and is not very good, and you blew that one. I just can't help but wonder whether or not they went into the weekend saying, you know what, if we don't win, Let's do this Jamie Collins deal. Let's go all in for 2016 to try to get a win, to try to make our defense better. Because if we go 0-16, Hugh Jackson very likely could be gone.
Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio joining us. One of the top stories on Pro Football Talk right now is Chuck Pagano saying this is a defining moment for the Colts. Well, yeah, it is, and they're going into Lambeau Field, so there's your defining moment. Is how hot is Chuck Pagano's seat right now?
I don't think it's hot, because if you fire Chuck Pagano 1 year into a new four-year contract that he got back in January after his contract had expired. Let's think about this.
Yeah.
All Jim Irsay had to do at that point was say, hey, Chuck, thanks. Your contract's expired. I'm not even firing you. Your contract's expired. I'm hiring someone else to take your place. I'm not firing you. We've heard that song and dance from other teams before. And employers will say that, oh, I didn't fire him. His contract expired, and we've decided to go in a different direction. So when you go all in with Pagano and you sign him to a four-year contract and you extend Ryan Grigson, the GM, by 3 years, if you fire these guys after 1 year, you look like an idiot for not getting rid of them when you had your chance. And I'd love to know what Chuck Pagano said to Jim Irsay in that meeting the Monday after the last regular season ended. And my guess is it had something to do with, hey, there's a job open in our division right now in Tennessee. I'll go take that job, and I'll kick your butt twice per year. I mean, it worked on the Colts for Peyton Manning. Maybe he used that same, I'll kick your butt every chance I get, and scared Jim Irsay into keeping him. Regardless, I think that gets Pagano, barring a complete and total meltdown where they go 4-12, I think that gets Pagano another year, because Irsay's going to have to be willing to admit that he screwed up last year, and I don't know that he's willing to admit that.
Mike Florio joins us this morning on KHDK. You see him all over the place, Mike. I saw you after the Sunday night game. Obviously, you're on with us every Wednesday, but I want to talk to you about that Monday night game last night. You can look at this in a lot of ways. Is this a fluke that the Bears, who have been really bad this year, go in and take care of a team like the Vikings, or is this maybe an indication that the honeymoon is over with Sam Bradford and the Vikings?
Well, it's hard for Sam Bradford to do anything when he's constantly being hit and harassed and knocked down. Mm-hmm. The offensive line in Minnesota is abysmal. And the problem is this. And look, I say this all the time. From September to December, teams get better and teams get worse. And the Vikings have gotten worse. Whether it's teams have figured out how to attack their offensive line, or the team just got a little too pleased with themselves, and at 5-0, they believe they're a team of destiny. And hey, if you're a team of destiny, hey, you just let destiny unfold. There's nothing you have to do. Well, you still have to go bust your butt every week, and you have to be ready to go. And the team I saw last night was beaten on both sides of the ball. That team got blown out. Even though the final score was 20-10, it felt like it was a lot worse than that. The Vikings never had a chance. They never led. Their defense was soft. Last week, it was the offensive line. This week, it was the defense. The formula that Mike Zimmer likes to play is field position, and the defense was not holding up its end of the bargain. A lot of those Chicago drives started inside the 20 and some inside the 10, and the defense was not able to clamp down. So the defense did not hold up its end of the bargain last night. The offense wasn't able to do anything until they were into garbage time, and the Vikings now have lost two in a row, and they don't feel like a 5-2 team. They feel like a 2-5 team, and they feel like a team that is going to have to scratch and claw to get to the playoffs. And more importantly, to the extent that there's a belief that the Vikings could contend for a Super Bowl this year, potential Super Bowl teams do not lose like that in prime time to a grossly inferior team. You know, when the Patriots lost 42-14 in the Monday night game against the Chiefs a couple of years ago, that was a good Chiefs team. That wasn't a one-win crap team like the Bears. So the Vikings got embarrassed, and they need to accept the fact that they are who they are, and they need to try to get the most out of what they are, and I don't know what they can do. There's only so much they can do to make the team better. At a certain point, they are who they are, and we're seeing it, and it doesn't get any easier. They've got Detroit twice. They've got Washington. They've got Arizona. They've got Dallas coming up. The next five games are going to show us a lot about this Vikings team, and they could wake up and be 6-6 or 5-7. By the time this next five games have finished.
Now, on the other side of that game, the Bears, you know, they're 2-6 now. Their starting quarterback's been out. They got problems. They're bringing in an outside consultant, according to some reports. They're obviously going into a rebuild mode after this season. Do you see John Fox being a part of that?
I don't know. And the organization really has been kind of a mess, whether it's ownership, whether it's Ted Phillips, the guy who's been the president of the team. And most organizations have someone like Ted Phillips who never really has accountability, but has power. You know, and you
what
can't have it. You can't have it both ways. It's great if you can pull it off. But whether it was Tom LaWand in Detroit who survived for years, and part of it is being a good internal politician where you know how to take just enough of the credit when things are going well. But when things aren't going well, you're nowhere to be seen. And is Ted Phillips the problem? I don't know. Is it ownership? I don't know. That's part of what they're trying to find out. And John Fox denied the report after the game. And it's funny because it was an NFL media report, a company partially owned by the Bears. And Fox said, well, you know, the National Enquirer has reports, too. So that's what he thinks of NFL media. And the bottom line is there's a chance he doesn't even know. It's possible he didn't get the memo that they brought in a consultant to evaluate how John Fox is doing his job. And right now, no one there is doing their jobs very well. Although last night, they look like a team that can contend, and I don't think, you know, at 2-6, it's impossible to write them off because 2-6 can become 3-6, it can become 4-6, and the next thing you know, you're potentially in position to make some noise down the stretch.
Well, and is there a chance, too? I mean, from what I know about Vic Fangio, the way he coordinates his defense is a really bad matchup for a team like the Vikings. He's going to bend but not break. He's going to force you to dump off underneath and take field goals at best. And like Sam Bradford will just take those dink and dunks all day.
Well, and yeah, I mean, look, when the offensive line is horrible, it's a lot easier for any defense to match up. And the offensive line is just horrible. And, you know, today's the trade deadline. They have 4 hours and 46 minutes if they want to do something. The problem is they don't have the ammunition to make a trade. They don't have the cap space to make a trade. And they've already gone all in with Sam Bradford. I think at a minimum you call up Cleveland and you say, what does it take to get Joe Thomas? And you call up the 49ers and you say, what does it take to get Joe Staley?
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk on with us, KHDK. And yesterday, the question of the day on PFT Live, which gets rolling at bright and early 3 a.m. our time on NBC Sports Radio, slides over to NBCSN for a two-hour simulcast to end the program. The question of the day was, who's your MVP? And we broached this, Mike, earlier on the show. Your results had Tom Brady at 44%, Derek Carr in second at 21%. We said if the season ended today, we couldn't give it to Tom Brady because he's missed four games. So could I kind of slide around a little bit and say, well, again, if the season ended today, Derek Carr's your MVP?
Well, it's easy to say that. Here's the thing we have to keep in mind. The 50 voters who have a say in who will be the MVP, there's no standards. There's no rules. The rules are there aren't any rules. You can pick whoever you want. You can split your vote if you want to. You can split it 10 ways if you really want to. So I think that those folks are going to be influenced by Tom Brady's career accomplishments. They're going to be influenced by the impact he's had since he's returned. And he's got eight more games. And, you know, Derek Carr, if this national attention ramps up, and one way to do it is when you get your close-up in prime time, you better deliver.
Yeah.
And when you get another one coming up later this year against the Chiefs on Thursday Night Football, you better deliver. And if you get flexed into Sunday night later in the year, you better deliver. That's how you get the attention. When you're in one of those standalone games that everyone, because what they do, you know, they've got people who cover specific teams. They've got people who cover the league nationally. When you are in a primetime window, maximum voters are going to see what you did, and they're going to get comfortable with the idea of you being the MVP. So this is his chance. You know, he doesn't need to throw for 513 yards every week, but beating the Broncos and winning a game at home, which they have struggled to do this year. They're 1-2 at home and 5-0 on the road. I've said they shouldn't move to Las Vegas. They should move to Orlando because they are unstoppable in the 1 o'clock Eastern time window. But the challenge is when you get this chance, when you get this close up, you had better show that you can do it. Because same thing, you know, with the Vikings. No one really noticed the flaws from the Sunday game at Philadelphia. But when you're the only team, well, one of only two teams on, and you look that bad, people notice. So this is the Raiders' chance to get people to notice the good, not the bad.
Well, what are people's chances to notice Mike Florio outside of Pro Football Talk?
Well, it's PFT Live every weekday, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific time on NBC Sports Radio, final 2 hours on NBCSN. And we had Sean Payton on today, and I asked him a lot of league-wide questions about replay review and the Cam Newton discussions. We're going to post the whole video at PFT. He really had some interesting things to say, thought-provoking stuff about the the replay system. He strongly believes there should be full-time officials. He thinks it's ridiculous that the NFL doesn't have full-time officials. So a lot of information and analysis from Sean about the current state of the league.
But other than that, you really don't have anything going on today, Mike.
I have nothing going on. No, I'm just hanging around. I'm just power rankings coming up. You know, the most meaningless but most debated aspect of the season. I got to get those done. I already have people texting me, when are your power rankings going to be up? Like, who cares? They don't mean anything. Thank you for reading them, but they're meaningless.
Well, we will. I'm sure you'll have all phones smoking today for the trade deadline. We always appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, thanks. See you guys.
All right, thank you. That is Mike Florio.